Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Memento, a podcast from Washington Avenue Christian Church. See, here at Washington Avenue, we understand that sometimes you forget who you are. Sometimes you forget what you're supposed to do. Sometimes we even forget what we talked about on Sunday morning. And so Memento is a podcast that is designed to remind you who you are, what you're supposed to do, and what we talked about on Sunday morning. And it's week three of Advent, y'all. Can you believe it? Like, I feel like I was just telling Jim last week, I was like, this Christmas season's going so slow. And then all of a sudden, here it is. And like, Christmas is like, oh, like 10 days away. And it's like, where did that time go? Because I don't recall any of it. Hopefully, you're able to find some small moments and of peace and of quiet where you and your family can enjoy your Christmas traditions and the things that you guys like to do. This week, in week three of the Advent series, we lit the pink candle, which is, if you're familiar with the Advent wreath, it's the pink one. It's the only pink one. It's the one that doesn't match any others. There's three purples and a white and a pink, and the white is the Christ candle, spoiler. The three purple, we've talked about, or we will talk about, but this pink one is not just because we ran out of purple candles. It's meant to symbolize something different, specifically the exuberant joy of the shepherds who received the news of the gospel first. And that's where I want to camp today, is just right here in Luke chapter 2. And you guys know the story well, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we will pick up in chapter 2, and let's do verse 10. Here it goes. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he is pleased. And the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and had seen as it had been told to them." Joy, right? The angel says, joy, good news of great joy for all the people. And the shepherds, after having followed the instructions of the angels, went and found the baby Jesus, and they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. Joy, right? And maybe of all of the catchphrase words that come with this season of Advent, this season of Christmas, joy might be the top of the list, right? Like, we sing songs, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And, you know, every Christmas card that you get, if it's not peace on earth, it's joy to the world or something like that. Joy is a significant part of the Christmas season for all people, but especially, particularly for Christians. And that is no small thing. But I don't today necessarily want to talk about having joy at the Christmas season. I just want to talk about having joy. Here's the thing, is that joy is not just a symptom of the season. It is and ought to be one of the defining characteristics of all Christians everywhere. And Paul backs me up here. So let's flip over to Philippians. And honestly, you could pick any... Where's Philippians? You can pick any chapter or verse in Philippians that you want to, and you're probably not far off from a verse about joy. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? I had counted it at one point, and I ought to have done it again before we did this podcast, but it's just now coming into my brain. The amount of times that joy is mentioned in Philippians, but it is no small amount, right? It is a lot, right? Which is cool and fine and dandy and great. It's easy to be joyful whenever you're in Christ, maybe, but also Paul's circumstances in Philippians, not so joyful, right? And I'm in no way comparing myself to Paul. Here's the caveat for this illustration, is that about, goodness, 8 years ago? Was it 8 years ago, 2014? Holy smokes. Yeah. Yeah, 8 years ago, almost in January, I moved to New England, New Hampshire specifically. And I did that in January, which is a terrible time to move, and a terrible time to move to New Hampshire, because there's lots and lots of snow on the ground, right? And so I left Amarillo on January 7th. I remember the date clearly, and I drove 3 days, all of 3 days, to get to New Hampshire. And as I drove to New Hampshire, it got colder and colder and colder and darker and darker and darker and snowier and snowier and snowier. Literally, the night that I arrived in New Hampshire, it snowed like a foot, and I pulled into the church that I was doing my internship at, and they were like, this is a lot of snow, dadgum. And they were like, oh, this is just a dusting, just wait. And I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done, right? And as I spent the first few months there in New Hampshire, I realized that winter is beautiful, but also kind of terrible, right? And it wasn't until the following year, the end of 2014, whenever I got to be there for the Christmas season, that I really, that this became evident to me. And this that I'm talking about hopefully will become clear in a moment. Because you see, in November, when it starts to snow in New Hampshire, it's fun and it's exciting, because it's new again and fresh again. And then as you transition in the calendar from November into December, and the Christmas lights and the, you know, the decorations and start coming out, it's literally like this Christmassy winter wonderland of lights and snow and Christmas trees, like, but not Christmas trees in the house, those too, but just like evergreen trees. And it's just absolutely beautiful. And it's easy to have joy, because it's like, this is so fun and so exciting. And then the new year hits, right? And all of the Christmas decorations go away, but the snow stays, and the days are still really, really short, and the nights really, really long, and it's really, really cold. In the first February that I was there, in 1 month, it snowed 120 inches of snow. It was absolutely insane, and it was cold, and it was dark, and it was dank. And it's easy to be joyful about Jesus at Christmas. It's really, really hard to be joyful about Jesus in February or July. Because we've made, I'm afraid, joy just a symptom, a byproduct of the Christmas season, and not a defining characteristic of who we are and how we're supposed to be. Now, understand, joyfulness doesn't equate to happiness, right? There are two separate things. Happiness is circumstantial, and joy comes from Jesus, right? It's this deep contentment. I literally have a note right here. This is great. Thanks, Pastor Shane. Joy is the state of living in today, right here, right now. The state of living in today. We don't worship I was or I will be. We worship the I am. Jesus. And the state of being in today, it is and ought to be for us a joyful state. And nobody illustrates us for us that better than Paul, who in Philippians says many, many times to rejoice, which is, like I said, sounds great until you remember Paul's circumstances, right? So here's Paul's circumstances. Yes, he says in, let's start in verse 12, actually, chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And by the way, what has happened to Paul is that he's sitting in prison, so that it has become known throughout the entire imperial guard, the secret service of the emperor, and to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord because of my imprisonment and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that, and this is the important part, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. What Paul is saying here is that his imprisonment is advancing the gospel, and because his imprisonment is advancing the gospel, he takes joy in that. Joy in that. Not a joy or happiness defined by his circumstances, not a symptom of the season that he's in, but in spite of the season of imprisonment that Paul is in, he finds joy. So, we should be joyful at Christmas time. We should. We should be joyful at Christmas time because it is such a blatant and clear reminder of who Jesus is and what he came to do. But we should have just as much joy on December 14th as on December 24th and as on 25th as on February 23rd. When it's cold and the wind is biting and blowing and the snow is piling up and it's dark and bleak in the world, the same light that came at Christmas, he's still here. And maybe for you, it's not so much a calendar thing, like you find joy, you know, whatever day of the calendar it is, but maybe it's more circumstantial for you, like you ought to, and this is going to sound maybe more blunt than I want it to, so forgive me, but you ought to be as joyful giving and receiving, giving and receiving, really receiving discouraging medical news as you are giving and receiving presents on Christmas. Our joy is not defined in and only by our circumstances. Another note that I have here from Past Chain says that joy is a choice, not a chase and not a race. Like, we have to choose every single day to be joyful, and maybe even more than choosing to be joyful is choosing to allow the Holy Spirit within us to work to make us joyful. It is, after all, one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And so it's maybe not even up to you how much joy you have or how hard you work at joy, but throwing your hands up and leaning into the Holy Spirit to cultivate a joyful attitude in your heart, regardless of your circumstances. There's a young couple in my group here, and I don't think that they would mind me sharing this. I hope not. And if they do and they hear this, then sorry. And man, she's really, really, really sick. And she's been sick the whole time we've known her, which is not very long. But she's been sick for a long time. Metastatic breast cancer that's traversed into her hips and her bones and her brain. And they got word this week that after having some headaches and bulging of the eye, that there's tumors in her brain. And so they went to MD Anderson all this past week, and they realized that they're going to have to go on Monday, the 20th, for more scans and more tests and a spinal tap and 2 weeks of pretty intensive radiation for her brain just to manage. They're 30 and 27, and they have a two-year-old, and they have to spend Christmas in an Airbnb in Houston with their son, who's going to come visit a little bit, and she's going to try to not be overwhelmed or overtired from her radiation treatment. And I tell you that because whenever they're telling us this news, it's like the hint of a smile on her face. Not because she's excited about it, goodness no, but because she has found a way to have joy in every circumstance. We, you know, have been asking what we can do to help, and they're just like continually overwhelmed by the ways in which God has shown up and shown off for them. Like, those are not my words; those are His words. He literally told us on Sunday that God is showing off in the ways in which He's taking care of them, and they see that. And man, just to listen to them talk and to share their stories of the kindness that God is showing to them through His people has been really, really incredible. And the ways in which they have navigated this, and the ways in which, man, if I was that sick, I'll just be frank with you, this is Pastor Shane here coming at you with the truth of what he knows about himself, is if I was that sick and I was facing those types of things, I would not be here on a Sunday morning. Especially if I just got back from MD Anderson the night before. Nope. But they said on Sunday that we wanted to come back on Saturday because we missed being with our church family and we missed being with our group. And we wanted to be a part of this with you. And that alone, like, just struck deeply within me. But, man, I'm rambling a little bit here because I really am struggling to put words for the behind the lessons that they have taught me, just as a bystander, really, about how to handle really, really challenging circumstances with joy and with contentment. So I'm going to wrap up here, and I just want to challenge you, man, don't let joy be a symptom of the season for you. Invite the Holy Spirit into your heart now and begin to think about ways now when it's easy and it's bright and colorful and cheerful and happy and joyous while we have all of these external reminders of the season and who Jesus is. Let the Holy Spirit now begin cultivating in you reminders of how to be joyful when it's not easy and when there aren't any lights and there aren't Christmas trees and songs about Jesus and candles and all of these things, because that's when it really matters. Paul says, rejoice in everything. Again, I say to you, rejoice. And he's coming from prison. And he literally says, it's because of my imprisonment, like, that the gospel is advancing. And because of that, I rejoice. And I feel like my friends would say, it's because of my sickness that the gospel is advancing, and because of that, I can rejoice. And so what's the blank for you? It's because of my fill in the blank that the gospel is advancing, and I can rejoice. It's not, joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's a choice. It's not a chase, and it's not a race. And I pray that you would be equipping yourself in this season to choose joy when it's easy, and when it's hard. We've got one more Advent week here coming up next week, and then the Christ candle, which we'll have to figure out what to do about that. But that's conversations for another time. So we hope that you have a great week. Make sure that you like and subscribe to this podcast. I also want to tell you real quick that we are in the midst right now of like transitioning our website to a different website host. And along with that means that our podcast is going to be changing hosts and users, I believe. Isaac is the one that's handling all of that. And so, and this is just me riffing, but Isaac's nodding along with me. So I think I'm in the right here. But I think that you will probably have to resubscribe to the podcast. Not this one. The sermon one. The sermon podcast. So if you want to continue to get Washington Avenue Christian Church sermons sent to your podcast host, which you should, then you're going to have to resubscribe to that. And we'll give you walkthroughs and all of that. This one's going to stay put. I don't know how it works or why, but that's what Isaac is gesturing at me frantically from behind. So, yeah, never mind. Like and subscribe to this podcast. Follow along. Hit the notification button so that you can get notified when this one drops every Thursday. We love you guys. And we'll see you next week. Take care.